ready to maybe run away from linebackers as opposed to bowling them over. He's a guy that early on I targeted as a Le'Veon Bell type of running back. And I think everybody, even since high school, he was a five-star prospect just behind Leonard Fournette in the all the recruiting rankings. What do you think, Trey, that a Le'Veon Bell-esque running back could do to Cincinnati's offense, especially from what you saw last year?
Well, I mean, it's not just the player. I mean, Steelers' offensive line is fantastic. To have a Le'Veon Bell-type running back, it starts with the offensive line. Getting those holes, and then it's on the running back to be able to hit those holes, time it perfectly. That's what makes Le'Veon Bell so good. He times the holes, and he knows when to put on the jets, when to kind of hold it back, when to make a move. And watching Joe Mixon last year, I mean, he showed signs of it. Him slimming down, it could help him big time. But for you got to see how he does this year. I mean, if he's looking good training camp, I mean, getting that confidence from training camp to into preseason and from preseason working that throughout the year might be huge for him. He'll have probably a breakout year the way you're talking about him.
And I think that he will. I think especially when it comes to talking about fantasy football, which we both are huge into, and we'll actually probably talk a little bit about fantasy football here in the first hour. But when it comes to Joe Mixon, I think one of the things that helps him in this sense is that Jeremy Hill's gone. He's in New England. And you've got Mixon ready to take on that first and second down. And he's a third down back. He's a three down back to me. But with a guy like Gio Bernard, you need someone that, you know, he's more of your scat back. He's going to make a lot of plays in the screen game, in the passing game. Well, Joe can do that too. The one thing that you made a good point on is that Le'Veon has instincts that we may have never really seen at the position in the terms of his patient running. I don't know if I can name an all-time running back that I can compare to Le'Veon Bell's running style, because no one really, I mean, it's almost like he's running in slow motion, but he's 25 yards downfield. Nobody in the NFL is slow and makes it like that. He's a special, special player. Now, does Joe have that? I'm not sure if he has that necessary level of instincts or that patience, but then again, we don't have much to go off of because of how the offensive line played last year. So it's up to him to kind of, I guess, develop that skill, develop that patience. And we'll see more once the pad comes on. All of this is just, you know, reliant on when the pads come on, what is it going to look like? And when it comes to Joe Mixon, I think that he's really primed for a big season. And one of the reasons is that this offensive line looks tremendously improved. And I hate to keep harking back to it, so let me just preface this for the rest of the show. We're not in pads yet, but you can still have takeaways. Cordy Glenn is a night and day improvement over Cedric Abui on the left side. Now, I loved Andre Smith. He was one of the first guys I really got to talk to and really got to know and try to get. And he played left tackle well last year. Glenn, if he can stay healthy, he's a mountain of a man. He is a, you know, pretty good pass blocker. He is huge. He should help tremendously in the run blocking game. He's not a Trent Williams. He's not Tyron Smith. But he's going to be a guy that you're not necessarily going to have to worry about. And then you have Clint Bowling coming back at left guard. And you've got Billy Price drafted at center. And another guy I want to give a shout out to, TJ Johnson. I think TJ Johnson, who's a center for the Bengals, and Billy Price are going to be fighting it out for that center spot. And early on, Billy Price looks good. You as a Steelers fan have a lot of experience with Marquise Pouncey. What does Pouncey do for the Steelers that makes that offense go to that next level that maybe Billy Price can bring to the Bengals?
Well, what makes Pouncey one of the top centers in the league, I mean, he's a very vocal leader for those offensive linemen. He knows what to do. He leads by example. And if one of his offensive linemen kind of screws up, he talks to him, tells him what he did wrong, and goes. I mean, a lot of mic'd up videos of him is talking to offensive linemen, helping them improve their game. And I think he's already one of the best blockers in the game in the center position. I mean,
yeah.
He goes up after those linebackers like it's nothing. But what I think makes him stand out is him being a great leader. And if any of those two centers in the, for the Bengals can kind of take that role, it not just helps them, but it helps the whole offensive line.
Mm-hmm. And I've talked to T.J. Johnson. I talked to him last year, and he is I don't know necessarily, not that he's not a great guy or elite. It's just that he seems to be like that lunch pail. Like, I think he wasn't ready mentally, like physically, I think he was, to be thrown into the lineup last year after Trey Hopkins went down with his injury. He was ready to come in and play, and he did well, but I don't think he's that leader. Billy Price, on the other hand, I think there's something that comes with being a first-round pick at center that kind of makes you assume a leadership role. Like, centers don't get taken high typically, at least if you look past over the, 20 years. Centers in the first round, not very common. So when you got a guy like Billy Price, a guy that went to Ohio State, that is staying in the state to be the savior of the center position in Cincinnati, that he will take some leadership role. I know he was calling out signals even on day one and two of all of those signals. It seems like that mentally he is preparing himself to be a leader on this offensive line, and I think that is needed for this offensive line. You got Trey Hopkins came back at right guard. He's a guy that was undrafted, and it's just interesting that he was chosen early on last year to really take over that spot after Andre Smith really didn't work out at guard. And then they have Cedric Abui playing first team right tackle, Jake Fisher at second team right tackle. Abui has a long way to go. I don't know if he'll ever really get to that point to where he's going to be even a starter in the NFL. But one thing I do like about him is that his skill and his ability really does fit that right side. So overall, that offensive line, as long as the injury bug does not bite them, which offensive linemen in the league, you can count on one hand how many offensive line units play all 16 games together, because they go down like flies. So I just really hope that for the sake of the Bengals that they can stay healthy. Now, if they can, they will give Dalton more time. And there's one guy that's really kind of shown off a little bit in the first couple of days of camp that the Bengals really need, and that's John Ross. And when we come back, we will talk a little bit more about John Ross and the rest of Bengals training camp right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show will return after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Hello, this is Mark Yates, Lexington Market President for Citizens Commerce Bank. Citizens Commerce has been providing the best banking products and services available in Central Kentucky for the past 20 years. Now, we are pleased to announce we are opening a new location in Lexington. We will be located at 4097 Nichols Park Drive near the intersection of Nicholasville Road and Man of War. At Citizens Commerce, we make decisions locally and spend more time with our clients. Expect us to know you by name as you become our business partner. Stop by our new location to discuss your banking needs and learn how Citizens Commerce takes service to a new level. You will love our personal service and low fees. So come in and talk to one of our friendly banking professionals today.
Hello, this is Michelle Oxley, President and CEO of Citizens Commerce, inviting you to visit us at our Lexington Banking Center. We know changing banks can be hard. Make sure you only have to do it once. Switch one time for a lifetime of service.
Max here for my friends at Fleet Dock at 1031 Contract Street, right here in Lexington. May and June for the Corona household was certainly not fun. We have two older cars that we take really, really good care of, but sometimes, like the song says, and the bottom dropped out. Jim, Joe, Josh, and Dustin, they're our team. There are mechanics, and those guys have been phenomenal. I guess the question I ask today is, where would we have been without Fleet Dock? And it's true what they say, Fleet Dock employing a well-trained staff taking care of every need for our cars, and certainly they could help you too. If you stop on by 1031 Contract Street or give them a call at 859-254-8394 or check them out on the web at fleet-dock.com. FleetDock.com. Fleet Dock open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. They're closed on the weekends, but hey, when you get there and you stop by, would you please tell Dustin, Joe, Josh, and Jim that Max Corona sent you? They will take incredible care of you and your car at Fleet Dock.
Hi, this is Rick Dees, and you know, if you ask anybody what the most important thing in their life is these days, you'd be surprised how many say high-speed internet. Well, good news. The Commonwealth of Kentucky is bringing ultra-high-speed, high-capacity internet to every single county, over 3,000 miles of it. It's called Kentucky Wired, and we're the first state in the nation to do it. It's a fabulous boost for the economy, more jobs, better education opportunities, better health care, better public safety. It's called Kentucky Wired.
Next Thursday, you will be caught in an extreme flash flood.
Disasters don't plan ahead, but you can. Talk to your loved ones about making an emergency plan. Get started today at ready.gov/plan. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Welcome back to the Dan and Mary Jo Show here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Today we're going to have Andrew Klump on. He is an Audubon Park City Councilor. He's going to be talking to us about the NBA's move, the potential NBA franchise in Louisville. And then at 11:30, we're going to have Joe Goodberry of The Athletic to talk about the Cincinnati Bengals and what to watch for going into the second week of training camp. Make sure to give us a call, 381-1313. To talk about the Bengals, we're going to be talking about UK basketball here very shortly. So get your get us on speed dial for that, because I know that everybody's itching to talk about this pre-Bahamas trip. And just going right back in to Bengals camp is that there's one guy that I thought started off a little maybe not the hottest, but then kind of turned it back on, and that was John Ross. And John Ross is a guy that they're definitely going to need if they want to take it to that next level. If the offense wants to take tops off defenses, if they want to have a versatile, not only passing attack, but being able to open up the screen game, being open up to misdirection, they're going to need John Ross to be healthy. And he finally looks healthy. He looks like a guy that was played all year last year that's coming in. He's an athletic freak, and we already know that. The thing that's been impressive is that now Dre Kirkpatrick is not the smallest corner. He's a really big guy, more of a Richard Sherman size type than maybe a Darrell Revis, but he's still a $50 million cornerback. And John Ross ate his lunch up yesterday on this double move on a deep route, and that was the biggest play of yesterday. People want to see John Ross succeed because he was the 9th overall pick. He's a wide receiver. And a group of wide receivers that are good, well, one of them's all pro in A.J. Green. He's the best player on the team, and that has not changed. But really, after that, you don't have that high-end talent, that other guy. You don't have the Martavis Bryant of former or the Juju Smith-Schuster of now to A.J. Green's Antonio Brown. And now that John Ross is a type of guy, what do you see from the Bengals? What do you think that John Ross can do? How competitive, if he's good, how competitive are the Bengals in the AFC North?
Oh, they're very competitive. They didn't have that deep threat last year, and that's why they kind of struggled. I mean, all they had was A.J. Green that would run the deep routes. I mean, you need that speed guy that can get down the field and break past the corners. Antonio Brown's kind of a deep threat, but Martavis Bryant was that guy for the Steelers. And with him gone, I mean, they have Eli Rogers to do that, and that's what makes the Steelers so wide receiver core so good. They have replacements for each style of wide receiver, where the Bengals really weren't that deep. And I mean, when you see the Bengals, their wide receiver core, I mean, you can really just to a normal NFL fan, they can really only name A.J. Green,
right?
And if John Ross can play like he can, he'll be a solid number two, and for most teams could be a number one if he got moved or anything. But I mean, if he plays well, they ain't gonna move him.
No, and one guy that a lot of people online are very excited about that I've noticed, because I will do a live tweet. You can catch my Twitter at Angelo Media Lex, and I do a live tweeting from Bengals camp to try to keep everyone up to date on what's going on for those who can't be there. And one person everybody's really excited about is Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd was a second-round pick, I want to say 3 years ago. And he is a guy that was really, really highly touted, actually, coming out of Pittsburgh, or at least going into that junior season. A lot of people thought a lot about Tyler Boyd. I remember the first time I saw him, I was like, this guy literally has electricity that I have not seen in a while. Now, I don't know what happened to that, because he's more of like a, you see him now in camp, he's a little more smooth. He's not the guy that is going to be a Reggie Bush, you know, but he's going to be a really good slot receiver. And he's looked great. I mean, I'm talking about night and day. Last year, he was and on the inactive list a couple times. Marvin Lewis was not very happy with the way that Tyler Boyd must have either been practicing or just the way he prepped, because he was not getting on the field. And now he comes in, and the way you kind of know who first-team guys are is just how they do drills or in the 11-on-11s. And in one of the drills, AJ started on one side and Tyler was on the other side. That doesn't mean he's going to play outside. It just means that he earned that you have played the second best out of all the receivers. And second best to AJ Green is, I mean, you know, he can't get much better than that. So Tyler Boyd's a guy that a lot of people are excited for. And I just wanted to get that nugget out there. And overall, when it comes to the Bengals, I think what you're looking at in the grand scheme of things is everything that's coming out of camp so far. Okay, so the offensive line's better. You could check that mark off. Joe Mixon is ready for a huge season to replace Jeremy Hill. You can check that off as an improvement. You've got Tyler Boyd looking great and John Ross looking healthy. All right, well, so how's the defense? Well, we'll know a little more about the defense, but guess who looks fantastic? William Jackson III, who everybody, I mean, you even know, Trey, how good William Jackson III is, because he played Antonio Brown last season better than any corner in football. I think the stats were 2 catches for 40 yards on 9 targets, and he had a couple pass breakups. I mean, to do that against who is quite unanimously the best receiver in football is impressive. So on a macro scale, we ask ourselves, how good can the Bengals be in October, November, December? Do they have a chance to compete in the AFC North? So when it comes down to it, you look at Pittsburgh. I think you would agree, Trey, that Pittsburgh's pretty hands down the favorite in the AFC North.
Oh, without a doubt.
And why is that? What makes Pittsburgh stand out closer to New England than a wild card team like maybe Houston or a wild card team possibly like a revamped Denver Broncos or the Kansas City Chiefs? What makes them closer to New England?
Well, first you got to look at the killer bees. Brown, Bell, and Big Ben. I mean, Big Ben, I mean, after thinking about retirement, he has a pretty nice season, and now the talks about retirement's over with. I mean, he's all in now, looking good. I mean, Le'Veon, I mean, there's a little drama there with his contract, but I mean, I think if he has a really big season like he did last year, he'll be getting the contract he wants, so I don't see any issues there. And then Antonio Brown, hands down the best wide receiver in all of the NFL. And then you got to look at the defensive side. We got Morgan Burnett from Green Bay. Big, big sign for the Steelers.
And I'm a Green Bay fan. He's a very good multi-dimensional safety. He can cover and he can play the run.
Exactly. Our linebacking core has always been top-notch with TJ Watt at the left side and Bud Dupree on the right. The big question is who's going to take Shazier's spot? And what I've been hearing is our first pick in the draft, Edmonds, they're kind of trying him out in that Mike linebacker setting, see if he can do it. I mean, he's got the speed, but what concerns a lot of people is the size. He's got to beef up a little bit. But, I mean, I think if he gets some more muscle on him, he might be as good as Shazier. I mean, and then defensive line, Tuitt, Cameron Hayward, I mean, they're just beasts. And then the O-line, I mean, they just past couple of years have been dominating. I don't see anything changing there.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny because I forgot that you all had T.J. Watt, and T.J. Watt started off real hot last year. He was really getting a lot of buzz for that Defensive Rookie of the Year, and it kind of fell off. You know, you got him and Bud Dupree, who is a former UK linebacker, as everybody knows, and everybody's really expecting a big season. They're always expecting that really big season out of Bud Dupree to go from a little bit above league average guy to like a Khalil Mack, and that'll never happen. But he maybe can turn into a Chandler Jones or someone of that magnitude. Terrell Edmonds, I remember you talking about that. Yeah, I think that a lot of that reports was that if you look at the way that linebacker's going, it used to be that if a linebacker hit 4.4, you were a top five pick. That's an athletic freak. You've never seen anything like it. If you look at the combine numbers this year, the top 10 linebackers, only two didn't run in the 4.4s. The NFL is changing, and Edmonds is a guy that maybe played safety at Virginia Tech, but the way this NFL is going, you're going to need fast linebackers in there, and to replace a guy like Shazier, you're definitely going to need to have that. Again, give us a call at 381-1313. When we come back, we are going to talk to one of your buddies. We're going to talk to Cole about Baltimore camp because we're trying to get the AFC North completely covered here. And we will do that when we come back next on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
You're all I ever wanted. You're all I ever wanted.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show will return after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Proof Fitness, hands down, is the best gym in Lexington. I'm talking world-class facilities with five-star concierge service that makes me feel like $1 million before, during, and after my workout. The space is beautiful, the equipment is new, and their studio class selection saves me so much money. Instead of wasting hundreds of dollars on different fitness studios and so much time and gas money just to get a comprehensive workout in, I go to Proof Fitness, where I can literally do it all in one place for one price. Proof Fitness has two awesome locations, downtown on Main Street on the top floor of the parking garage right next to the Big Blue Building, and in Tate's Creek Center right under Ramsey's. Oh, and did I mention there's free parking at both? Just being at Proof motivates us to become the healthiest, happiest, and most productive version of ourselves. For this month only, you can join Proof Fitness during July for as little as $4 per month on select memberships. Walk in with $4 and walk out a member. And for our listeners only, the first 50 in July get a free set of Bluetooth training headphones worth over $129. Just ask for them at sign up or be our guest for a week and jump online at ProofFitness.com to get an all-access VIP 5-day pass for free. Proof Fitness, what more do you need?
Revamp your exterior today with the locally manufactured, nationally recognized stone veneer from Glengarry that installs like siding. Glengarry's stone fit wall system with dry fit technology uses patented interlocking stone panels with attachment brackets that mount directly to plywood regardless of stud location. The mortarless panels allow for a clean and easy installation 365 days a year. Buy direct from the Cynthiana plant today and save 10% on stone fit this month only. Visit our showroom at 267 Safety Way Road in Cynthiana to select and purchase your product today. GlenGarry.com.
Are you looking for a great breakfast? At Beaumont Shell, biscuits are made to your liking and breakfast platters are made faster than fast food places. Also serving lunch and dinners at Beaumont Shell Monday through Saturday. Try our famous catfish or chicken tenders or grab one of our ribeye specials on Thursday and Friday. All faster than fast food. Find every convenience of a fully stocked convenience store at Beaumont Shell at 961 Midnight Pass. That's Beaumont Shell at Midnight Pass next to Moondance Amphitheater.
There's a lot to love about summer. Cool days with the kids, vacation with the family, dropping the kids off at camp.
Bye, Mom.
For a week. With all the summer fun, I forgot about their back-to-school physicals. But getting that done last minute was surprisingly easy, too.
Baptist Health Express and Urgent Care makes school and sports physicals easy. Use our online check-in to choose a location and time that work for you. And now through August 31st, physicals are just $25. Visit BaptistHealthClinics.com today.
For a child battling a critical illness, a wish come true can be a turning point. Make-A-Wish needs your support to grant the wish of every eligible child. Learn more and help grant more life-changing wishes at wish.org.
This is the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Welcome back into ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Angelo Carriero here with Trey Carney, and we are talking some AFC North and Cincinnati Bengals training camp right now. Give us a call, 381-1313. We could talk anything going on with the Cincinnati Bengals and the AFC North. And here in just a little bit, we're going to be talking UK basketball. After this segment, we're pretty much going to be talking about UK basketball, peppering that in, except for at 11, where we'll have Andrew Klump come on of the Audubon Park City Councilor. we will be talking about a potential NBA move to Louisville. And we'll also at 11:30 be talking to Joe Goodberry of The Athletic, who covers the Cincinnati Bengals and the NFL draft. Right now, we're talking a little AFC North and what to kind of the early projections on the AFC North. Now, we talked a little bit about Pittsburgh. We talked a little bit about Cincinnati. Well, you know, Trey from Tusculum University is a college lacrosse player. He's bringing up some of his buddies from there. And one of them is a big Baltimore Ravens fan. His name is Cole. Cole, how are you doing, my man?
Going good, Angela. How's it going?
It's going really well. Now, I know that you kind of keep your pulse on the Baltimore Ravens. Tell us a little bit about what's going on over in over Maryland.
So the big thing, I don't know if anybody's been seeing it, but Lamar Jackson drafted in this past year in the draft. You know, rookie guy coming out of Louisville. I don't know how Kentucky fans feel about him, but ACC guy myself, I don't really like him. I don't like that. But, you know, we drafted him. It is what it is. We got Joe Flacco, Super Bowl winning quarterback. He's elite, no doubt in my mind. He's an elite quarterback, but not a lot of people see it that way.
I did see Joe Flacco live, and I actually didn't get an opportunity to talk to him. He's not as bad as everybody likes to make him out to be. Elite is a far stretch. Aaron Rodgers is elite. Joe Flacco, I mean, if he's elite, he's like Eli Manning. They're pretty
similar. He's got a Super Bowl ring.
He's got a Super Bowl ring. That's fair. Lamar Jackson, I will tell you one thing. UK fans, I think that's one of the few players that they couldn't hate because they respected him so much. Because he led the ACC last year in passing and rushing. That's almost unfathomable. He had 3,000 passing yards and 1,500 rushing yards. He was Louisville for 2 years. That guy is electric. I thought that he was a top 10 worthy pick, in my opinion. I had him fourth of the quarterbacks. I had Rosen, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Lamar Jackson. But I thought he was worth that high of a pick. How is he looking so far in camp?
Well, he's looking enough to be getting a starting look. Obviously, you know, Flacco is more likely going to be our guy, but Harbaugh's been talking about him, you know, really good things. And there's been a lot of controversy around it, but Flacco, like he said a couple days ago, he's like, there's not going to be any worries about him making any noise, getting any trouble, because we're going to win. We're not going to hear any about that. So, if it's Flacco, if it's Lamar, you know, the Ravens, they're putting together a winning team. So I don't really know if he's going to start. If he does,
I think it was funny because I was listening to the Move the Sticks podcast with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks, which is on the NFL Network group of podcasts. He was talking about how on the, you know, how there's the one-liners you have like online at NFL.com or whatever. It has like 10 lines, and one of them was Joe Flacco looking amazing. And they said it was funny because it's this small little one-liner about how good Joe Flacco is. And then there's this huge picture of Lamar Jackson and how the hype is all around Lamar. So the future's clearly going to Lamar Jackson. Now, Trey, I have a question to ask you really quick. What do you think about the Ravens? What is the difference between a Joe Flacco-led Baltimore Ravens offense and a Lamar Jackson-led offense? Because there's positive negatives to both.
Well, I'll start with Lamar because, I mean, that's what a lot of people want to hear about. Lamar opens up an offense a lot more than Joe Flacco does because Lamar's more mobile. He's better on the run passing than Joe Flacco is. I mean, we've seen Joe Flacco run, and when he takes a slide, he doesn't really slide that well. And, I mean, that Miami Dolphins game got knocked out. Lamar Jackson, he knows how to slide, so he can make plays running that Joe Flacco can't. But the problem is with Lamar is, I mean, he said it like, and when he was playing at Louisville, he doesn't really lift much. Maybe his mindset's changed since then, which probably has. I mean, you're making millions to play this. You got to get a little bit more muscle on you so you can take a hit by hit. All these big linebackers.
I think a big thing about it too is that what you're choosing between Lamar Jackson and Joe Flacco is experience and decision making versus potential. And potential is a word that some people say, well, that can't be actualized. Well, we saw it at Louisville. Lamar Jackson's potential is electric. Okay. Now the thing is that I, as a Cincinnati follower, I wanted the Bengals to take Lamar Jackson because Dalton had been so lukewarm. Mediocre is a way to say it. He wasn't bad, but he wasn't really that good. He had his moments. And essentially, when it comes down to it is that I would rather have that potential of Lamar Jackson in the offense than Andy Dalton. Cole, how do you feel about the potential of this team with Joe Flacco as a starter versus Lamar Jackson? Do you see a higher ceiling that can actually be reached, is my question, if Lamar Jackson's the starter?
I mean, if Lamar Jackson's the starter, you got to think the offense is going to be more dynamic or going to have more options to do more plays and, you know, probably take bigger risks. Like Trey said, you know, Joe Flacco, when he got hurt in Miami, that's just kind of the risk you take with a pocket passing quarterback when you're trying to run a high-tempo offense. But like you said, the experience of Joe Flacco, it really could come into play in a game against Pittsburgh one night where, you know, you got to make a tough decision, you know. Are we going to throw the ball here? Are we going to run it? Like Joe Flacco would kind of read that situation where Lamar Jackson might be a little unsure. So, like you said earlier, just positives and negatives to both guys, you know, coming to start. But it just kind of depends, I think. And I think I'd more lean towards Flacco for experience in this first year and see how Jackson pans out.
And I think the best case scenario for both players and the Baltimore Ravens in general is an Alex Smith to Colin Kaepernick type of turnover, to where maybe some point in the season where defenses haven't seen Lamar Jackson, you throw him in there late on a playoff push and catch him by surprise, a lot of the way that Deshaun Watson did earlier in the year, and then Joe Flacco gets moved or he leaves in free agency to another team to start a new chapter of his career, much like Alex Smith did. You know, thank you, Joe, for everything that you've done, but the future is now with Lamar. Cole, I want to thank you a lot for coming on with us today. And we're going to get to a caller right now. We've got Al on the line. Al, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well, Al.
Good.
I appreciate the quarterback comparisons, but I think that you have to look at it from a different perspective. You have to take a guy like Lamar Jackson and also compare him to RG3, who came into the league, done great things, a few games, and then got busted up, and he's not in the league anymore. Then you could look at that type of quarterback, similar to Michael Vick, who got world-class speed. I think that Lamar probably has got to be able to throw the deeper route pass a little bit better. But these quarterbacks that are agile, that can escape, really can be left on the sideline for the rest of the season where they get broken up. Because let's bear in mind that the defensive side of the ball, you don't have guys that are big like some of the bigger mass guys that was when I started watching pro football back in the 70s. You got guys that are big, fast, and stronger. And a lot of those cats come from the SEC and from other areas of the college football. And I think that those quarterbacks that have that size that like to run, like Lamar Jackson, you might see Flacco, if you start him, you might see Flacco back in the second half of the season leading the team into the playoffs.
Well, there's one thing I want to say, Al, is that the one thing that everybody likes to compare Lamar Jackson to RG3, but there's one very clear thing about RG3 is that he had a very notable injury history at Baylor. It wasn't just he got to the NFL and he couldn't hold up. At Baylor, he had a red shirt a season and then missed six games in another season before his Heisman Trophy winning junior campaign. He was already a question mark injury-wise. Lamar Jackson has been taking these hits for going on 3 years and has never missed a game, to my knowledge. I mean, I don't think he ever missed a game. He was a Heisman Trophy winner, led the league. He led the ACC in rushing last year. I mean, the guy at least has a proven track record that his playing style, at least at the college level, and I agree with you, the NFL is bigger, stronger, faster, but at the college level and not a weak conference, he was able to hold up for an entire season.
Well, I agree with that. What you do, you look at that particular statistic, or you look at that history thing with reference to Lamar Jackson, and you can walk away and say that he was doable at the college level. And certainly when you come to the professional level, that you're going to have a defensive coordinator that's going to come up with schemes that he didn't have those reads on the college level. And I'm not saying that Lamar Jackson, and I'm not hating on him, but I think that once you jump to having a rookie that have a whole bunch of talent, once you throw him in there, and he's going to be confronted with defensive guys that are coaches on the field. You're going to be dealing with coaches that be able to see things and throw things at him. And if he can misread because he's rattled, the ball could be going the other in the other direction for a pick six. So all of those things you have to, you know, well, whereas Flacco is a veteran quarterback who already knows the thing. He's not as agile and maybe mobile, but this is a cat that led them into a Super Bowl and won it, and should have won it in New England when they had a controversial catch. There wasn't a catch back then, in that day. So Flacco's been relevant for a long time.
Well, honestly, I think Lamar Jackson's going to kind of be like a Cam Newton. I think they're going to give him the option to run, but, I mean, if you look at Cam Newton, he in the beginning of his career, he was running a lot, and then he was getting hit, and so he had to adapt. I think a lot of teams that draft quarterbacks with the style of Lamar are going to take that into account and be like, and give him the option to run, but they're going to train him enough to make sure he doesn't, you know, get crazy running it and get injured like RG3 was. And the knock on RG3 I have is that he didn't really know how to slide, and he tried to like run over linebackers his first 2 years, and that's why he got injured. Cam Newton now, he'll run when he knows he can get at least 8 to 10 yards, and he slides. He knows how to slide. I think, and Lamar showed it in college, he knows how to slide. But I think the Ravens are going to have him to be a pass-first guy. That at Louisville, he was kind of 50-50 with passing and running.
And, Al, I want to thank you so much for – if you want to get last word, you can, but thank you so much for your call,
yeah.
Al.
Well, I think the Cam Newton's frame is a lot bigger, and because he was getting those hits, he learned to slide. Because, like you said, it's just a different game altogether. But I think that if they play Lamar, that he's going to do some great things in the NFL and, you know, create a fan base that would probably be wearing his jersey up in the section when they come and play in Baltimore. So, y'all, I appreciate you doing you do a great job on Saturday. I enjoy talking to you.
Thank you, Al. Thanks, appreciate Al. It a lot. And the thing, the difference is too, is a lot of people kind of compare. They say that Lamar Jackson's not going to be able to run necessarily, you know, the way he did in college. Here's the thing, though. Lamar Jackson, what people assume about Lamar Jackson is that he's a scrambling quarterback that can throw. It was quite the opposite his junior year. Number one, as I was doing my draft prep, Lamar Jackson from his sophomore to junior year became a wholly different passer. He was a better player his junior year than his Heisman Trophy winning sophomore campaign. It's plain and simple. The thing is that they would make designed runs for Lamar, not scrambling runs. He wasn't back there not knowing what to do, so he used his legs. It was clearly, you're passing this play, he would pass the ball. You're running this play, he was running the ball. It was very night and day. So I think his ability as a passer, which is improving. Now, is he great? He's not a great passer. Is he a good passer? He's good enough. Okay? And that sometimes a lot of people forget that quarterbacks can run. You know, and not all the time. Some guys with the biggest frames aren't even that much of, you know, those scrambler-type runners that hurt. My perfect example is Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck was mobile. He was noted that he, for a traditional pocket passer, that he had more wheels than, you know, anybody, any type of, more than Peyton, more than Brady, more than Breeze, all the, you know, your traditional pocket passers. He did not get hurt because he was running. And we're talking about a 6'4.5", 235-pound guy. This is not small. We're talking about a guy that sat in the pocket and got obliterated. So there are multiple ways. And how many games has he played the last 2 years? I think he started off the season last year, and then he missed all that year.
I don't think he played at all last season.
No, not last season, the season before.
Yeah, he
started off the year and then got his shoulder re-aggravated. They shut him down and he was out last year. So even the biggest and toughest guys can get borderline permanently hurt in this game. And injuries happen. Teddy Bridgewater's career got completely derailed because he put too much pressure on his knee on a drop back with no defenders around him in a practice. You know, their freak injuries happen, and then you have guys like Andrew Luck that get hurt. So the injury concerns with Lamar and the comparison to RG3, who was always injured in college, I think it's a little unfair to Lamar Jackson to be able to trust what he can do. And just when it comes down to it, and I understand what you meant by your Cam comparison, and, you know, Just when it comes to him, you saw Michael Vick. Michael Vick had some injuries but never really got hurt. I would say that you're looking at more of that comparison. Like, he'll get dinged up maybe in a season, but I think if for 16 games he's a guy that you'll be able to trust more than not. Now, that just depends on his offensive line too, because you don't want him to get killed like Andrew Luck did. But if that's fine and he has the mobility, I think that people are a little more concerned than they should be with him. And when it comes down to it, the reason why, you know, like Al was talking about, you want, you know, Joe Flacco, who's have to come back in the second half of the year and all of that, is that what you're hoping to get out of Lamar Jackson is Deshaun Watson. That's who you're hoping he can be his rookie year. Now, when we come back, we will be talking about UK basketball's trip for the Bahamas before we hit the 11 o'clock hour, where Andrew Klump will come on to talk about NBA, a potential NBA move to Louisville. And then at 11:30, Joe Goodberry of The Athletic is going to come on with us at 11:30. Give us a call at 381-1313. This is the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 and 92.5.
I got to testify. Come up in the spot looking at the Dan and Mary Joe Show will return after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. For 30 years, we've been in the business of bringing dignity back to those who've lost it. And it isn't something we take for granted. Dignity means bringing a paycheck home, being able to put food on the table, and provide for your family. For 30 years, I've fought to bring dignity back to those who lost it after an accident or an injury. And because we believe in dignity, it is also the heart of our charitable contributions and our fight for the powerless. It's why we donated $10 million to pass the legalization of medical marijuana in Florida so that the most ill can live and die with dignity. Let my family fight for your family. Call us for a free consultation. Dial pound law on your cell phone. That's pound 529. Morgan & Morgan, forthepeople.com.
Offices Lexington.
Join us as we run through downtown under the stars in Lexington's signature 5K event. The 34th running of A Midsummer Night's Run presented by Lexington Athletic Club is Saturday, August 11th. The fun starts at 4:30 and includes the Bucart Orthodontics Fastest Kid in Town race, the 1 mile fun run and walk, and a 5K. There will be live music, food trucks, and a beer garden. Runners and walkers of all levels are welcome. For more information or to sign up, go to amidsummer5k.com.
And the deal are sizzling. Scorching discounts on over 300 new Rams and Jeeps, like a Jeep Compass Sport starting at $18.99. 0% is available on Cherokees. Lease prices are smoking. It's a hot fun in the summer clearance event at all three Mann Chrysler stores. How hot is this sale? Yow, it's sizzling.
You're gonna drive away saying, man, what a deal.
Mann Chrysler in Maysville, Mount Sterling, Richmond, and at mannchrysler.com.
Oh, what a beautiful day. I can't wait to get in my car. I'm going to grab the kids, go to the beach. It's going to be unbelievable.
Don't let something like this ruin your summer. Come see us at Bluegrass Auto Body. Two locations to better serve you. 1040 West High and 309 Rusio Way. If somebody runs into you, run into Bluegrass Auto Body or visit us at bluegrassautobody.com.
Hi, this is Alan Stein for my friends at Synergy Home, Lexington's leader in air conditioning. They are also the home of the free second opinion, so if another contractor says you need a new unit, you call Synergy Home. That's mysynergyhome.com, 687-0553.
This is the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA.
Welcome back to the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. With me is Trey Carney. I'm Angelo Carriero, filling in for Dan and Mary Joe this morning. You can give us a call at 381-1313. We're going to talk a little Kentucky basketball before we get into the 11 o'clock hour, where we'll have Andrew Klump to come on to talk about an NBA move to Louisville. And at 11:30, Joe Goodberry of The Athletic. But right now, we have got a special caller on the line. We have Trey. I'll let you take it away.
This right here is Grandma Carney, the sweetest lady in the world.
How are you, Grandma Carney?
Oh, I am fine. And how are you?
I'm doing good.
Fantastic.
That is great.
So what do you want to talk about, Grammy Carney?
I want to talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, what do you think of the Pittsburgh Pirates and how they're going to do the rest of the season? And how about them last night? I mean, it put us against the wall, and when our back's against the wall, we come out swinging. What do you think?
Well, last night's game, David Freese hit that walk-off single, which we were coming off a two-game losing streak, which we needed to gain some momentum back after, you know, a great 11-game win streak. Honestly, looking at the Pirates, if they can win the rest of their series or most of their series, I think they have a chance for the wild card. They're not too far back in the wild card race.
I think a lot of that where the problem comes from was just when you trade Andrew McCutchen and Garrett Cole, it's times like this where you could make a playoff push that without those two guys, it's going to be really hard to squeak out some of those games that you should or get a, you know, Garrett Cole 12 strikeout game on a night that your bats are cold.
Right. We're really not real healthy right now anyway with a few of them. So sometimes we're – but for what they have, they do good for, you know, I mean, at least they're showing a little bit and coming back. The last few games has really been great.
Yeah, they're all hitting really well. I mean, I think all of them are actually above 200 hitting. And they're only three games back in the wild card. And division-wise, they're from the leaders, 7 games back from the Cubs and 5.5 from Milwaukee for the second place spot. So anything can happen. If they get on another big win streak, even if they get on a couple 8-game win streaks, maybe, I mean, it's an open division.
Well, that's good. I'm going to take that to the bank, what you guys are saying. That's it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for coming on, Grandma Carney. Is there anything else you'd like to say to Trey before you go?
Oh, I just love him, and he's the best. I mean, to tell you, he's the best.
I'll have to agree. He's all right.
I love you too, Grammy.
Okay, dear. Goodbye.
Bye, Grammy.
So, Pittsburgh Pirates. That's another thing we haven't talked about, and I swear I told we'd talk about Kentucky basketball. Just real quick, the MLB trade deadline, it's coming up quick, and there's been a flurry of moves. The MLB trade deadline has been insane how many moves have done, and it all started with the best player, one of the top 10 players in the league, and Manny Machado moving to L.A., and then it set all these up. The Yankees have made two moves. The Brewers just acquired Mike Moustakas, which, wow, I mean, that's pretty big, at least in my eyes. The Cleveland Indians traded the number 5 overall player in minor league baseball and the number 1 catching prospect in baseball for Brad Hand, a reliever from San Diego. I mean, you are really gunning for it this trade deadline, with the buyers are buying really heavy and really high right now. And it's been really entertaining. But real quick before we go, because we will talk more about UK basketball in the second hour, but I wanted to get your thoughts about what I want to hear from you right now before we get out for the top of the hour. What are you most looking forward to? And I believe it's 5 games that are going to be televised for the Bahamas trip. What are you wanting to see most, or what are you looking most forward to?
2 things. Chemistry and Reed Travis. I think Reed Travis, everyone was talking about him before he came, and like, oh, we want him. After he's committed to us, not much has been talked about. Everyone was talking about Harrow, Quickly, Johnson, everyone but really Travis. I think Travis is going to take Kentucky to a new level this year, and I think he's going to surprise some people on this Bahamas trip about how good he is. I think he'll be averaging a double-double this season. Honestly, once it's all said and done, if he can do that, I mean, it's going to be hard to beat Kentucky. I think Kentucky has a really good shot at the national championship this year.
I agree with that. I really do. I think a lot of people don't see that in Kentucky, except maybe the guys, you know, the fans here. But I think it's because we're seeing this precipice of talent that we haven't seen since the near undefeated team, the 38-1 team, where you could essentially platoon the guys. What I'm most looking forward to in the Bahamas trip is who is going to take the point guard role. Because there are 3 guys that I really think could show themselves. And I don't think it's necessarily Ashton Hagen's job. Because it is right now. I think going in with his level of ability and the level of hype around him, that there's an expectation of Hagen's to come in and be the starting point guard. But you've got Quade Green, who is going into his second year. He's a solid player. I think that he has a lot of talent and a lot of leadership inside of him. He's very charismatic, and I think the guys on the team probably like him, and from my opinion. And then you have Emmanuel Quickley. He is the guy that started off this entire class, and people just seem to kind of forgot about him. But Quickley was the first big signing to this class, and I think that he's a very talented point guard. I think he was the third ranked point guard in the entire 2018 high school class. That guy's not out of it, and I feel like people think he is.
Well, I've seen a lot of people put him at two guard. I mean, and that's a position he can play. So, I mean, I think Calipari is going to probably look to, for Higgins and Green to take that point and probably have Quickley at the two.
We'll see about that. I think Quickley probably could play the two, and especially going small. You know, he's already done it with Wall and Bledsoe before, to having 2 point guards in the lineup, and we'll probably see those lineups pretty often. But when we come back for the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Audubon Park City Councilor Andrew Klump about a potential NBA move to Louisville and how Lexington can help out in that. You're listening to the Dan and Mary Jo Show here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and
92.5. One, two, three, my baby don't mess.
Ready for a senior living community that feels like home? Welcome to the Lafayette, the finest in independent living accommodations, with chef-prepared meals, transportation available 7 days a week, and 24/7 security, serving the community's needs for over 30 years with a dedicated staff of trained professionals. Come and join life at the Lafayette, conveniently located on Mason Headley Road. Contact us to schedule a tour. Visit online at 5starseniorliving.com.
Our military service members volunteer to protect us in the most dangerous places around the world. They step up. And when they are severely ill or injured, returning to their families is only the beginning of their long road home. Beyond all the hospitals and doctors and surgeries they need just to survive, they also deserve whatever they need to truly live. All the in-home care and day-to-day help they need to live independently, on their own terms. Wounded Warrior Project long-term support programs were established to provide these brave men and women whatever they need to continue their fight for independence at no cost for life. So many of them need us, and it's time for a grateful nation to step up. Find out how you can do your part at findwwp.org.
We're going all out for the jazziest weekend in Lexington this year. It's already huge and full of sunshine. The African American Forum and AARP of Kentucky, in partnership with 107.9 The Beat, are proud to present an evening of smooth jazz featuring Eric Darius, Friday, August 10th, at the Embassy Suites by Hilton. This will be an intimate evening of smooth jazz, guaranteed to be magical and memorable. Act fast. Only a limited number of tickets will be sold for this special performance. Call 255-2653. That's 255-2653, or visit aafinc.com. The Lexus Smooth Jazz Fest. Enchanting, exciting, and exquisite.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5, WLXG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
Will initially switch current third baseman Travis Shaw to second. The Iowa West leading Astros added some bullpen help. They got righty Ryan Pressly from the Twins for a pair of prospects. Diamondbacks acquired switch hitting infielder Eduardo Escobar from Minnesota for 3 prospects. Arizona skipper Torey Lovullo.
He's going to get a lot of reps at third base. We know that he's a very capable middle infielder as well, but we acquired him to shore up what was going on at third base. And, you know, Jake Lamb gets banged up, and this is a great guy for us to have step right in.
Lamb on the DL with a bruised left shoulder. D-backs are a game and a half back of the NL West leading Diamondbacks. NFL, take a look in the mirror, Dez. That basically was one of the responses Cowboys linebacker Sean Lee gave when asked about former teammate Dez Bryant's tweets. where the wide free agent wide receiver, among other things, partly blamed Lee for his release from Dallas and called him a snake. Lee also said that the notion that he could get somebody off the team was absurd, and he said he thinks Bryant needs to look at himself and hold himself accountable.
NFL training camps are getting started. You know what that means. Cowboys, Chargers, Super Bowl, Collision Course. It's the Will Cain Show. Weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Give us a call at 381-1313 or tweet us at ESPN Radio Lex. Now here's Dan Reifer and Mary Jo Perino.
Welcome into the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300-92.5. Angelo Carriero and Trey Carney filling in for Dan and Mary Jo this morning. You can tweet us at ESPN Radio Lex or at Angelo Media Lex for me. And Trey, if you want to give your Twitter out there.
At Carney underscore Trey.
At Carney underscore Trey. And give us a call at 381-1313 here in just a little bit. Because right now we have on the line Andrew Klump, an Audubon Park City counselor who is at kind of the social and local forefront on a move for the NBA to put an expansion team in Louisville. Andrew, how are you this morning?
Doing great. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing well. And Andrew, I wanted to preface this real quick. I have been, before I even broke into the radio business, I actually have followed the NBA to Louisville movement. And early on, there wasn't necessarily actual traction. It was just kind of a thought. And it seems as if that thought is becoming more and more of a practice and an expectation that when the NBA chooses to expand, it's more of a when than if, that they will highly and strongly consider Louisville.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the point that we have to get to. So, you know, at this point, you would see two expansion franchises, probably one in Seattle, and then you're looking at the second city, and we want Louisville to be that second city. But the way that Seattle's done it is they feel as if they're owed a team, right, because the Sonics are gone. Louisville needs to be in that, you know, same vein of, okay, well, we had our Colonels taken from us. We're owed a team as well. We need to be that second-tier team. And so what I've done, or what's been happening, is obviously you've probably heard about Dan Issel leading an investment group, and he is pursuing a majority owner, and then him and the investment group would help with the majority owner put a bid in for a team.
Mm-hmm.
But a sidebar to that has been what I've been working on, and that is, you know, Audubon Park is an incorporated city, which means there's 83 cities like Audubon Park within Metro Louisville, which is kind of crazy.
It is.
Lexington got rid of theirs when they merged the city and county together.
Mm-hmm.
And so Metro Louisville passed a resolution supporting an NBA franchise coming to Louisville back, I think, February or March of 2017. And since then, in December, I got Audubon Park to pass a resolution supporting an NBA franchise coming to Louisville as well, and then encouraging all the other cities to do the same thing. And so now we've gotten, you know, six other incorporated cities within Louisville, and then Jeffersonville, Indiana, is the first city outside of Louisville to do the same thing. And so all these resolutions have no financial commitment whatsoever, but what they do is they show this solidarity of, you know, and proof of a regional footprint when we're trying to attract a team. And so I think, you know, Lexington is key to that because when all these other cities are putting together their bid, they're going to have their regional numbers, you know. Oh, here's the number of markets that we're going to hit, you know. In Louisville, when they would bid, they would use Lexington as part of their market. But the key there is that you have this legislative support, it's completely different. It's a game changer. No one's done this before. So if this keeps growing and growing, it'll send a message to the NBA saying, wow, not only are these regional numbers accurate, but they are so obsessed with basketball in the state of Kentucky that they went and got all of these legislative bodies, all these government agencies to support an NBA team coming to Louisville or coming to Kentucky.
And that's one of the things that I noticed looking through the information that you sent me to prepare for this, was that Louisville, unlike some of the other cities that are going to be competing for an NBA franchise, some of those Seattle, Vancouver, and especially one that struck out to me the most was the Richmond, Norfolk, Virginia Beach area.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm
worried. Don't forget about Vegas.
In Vegas. Oh, I didn't. You know what? That's very true. I think that when it comes to Louisville, the one thing that I see being a deterrent are the cities around Louisville. Because in Kentucky, you'll have a big city, well, except for Northern Kentucky, and then you won't really have any population around it. And that's kind of what I was worried about with Louisville. That's why I agree with you that Lexington is so big into this, because you're bringing another 300,000-plus viewers, including the local support in the state, which, you know, the state is very good at supporting their local, you know, college of football and basketball teams, and how that will bleed into the NBA.
Well, and let's be clear with this, too. Mexico City is another option. And so if the NBA decides they want to go that route, there's a pollution problem, there's, you know, a crime problem.
I didn't think that was likely when I saw that on the report.
They have a G League team there right now just to kind of test it out, or they're putting one there. So we'll see how that works out. And if they pick Mexico City, there may not be a ton what Louisville can do about it. But that's why this regional footprint thing is so important, is that, okay, well, Mexico City is a big market, but this regional footprint is like, well, you're definitely going to get the support if it comes to Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that said, you know, Las Vegas went from 0 to 3 teams overnight, right?
Right.
And they just passed Louisville in population. Now, granted, they have a tourism amount that's the second amount most in the country behind Orlando. But Louisville's not that much smaller than them. So,
right.
You know, if we pull in the regional support, well, we have a strong case. And that's the important part. But I think we need to get, though, to the point of, okay, what's important, or how does this help Lexington? You know, if Louisville gets an NBA team, look at Lexington. They get, you know, spillover from events. You know, people travel for these games. And, you know, people might take a weekend trip and say, wow, Louisville's awesome, and the urban bourbon trail is cool, but I want to do like the traditional bourbon trail. I want to see, you know, Maker's Mark. I want to see Buffalo Trace. I want to see a real traditional horse farm. You know, those things are huge positives. And then, you know, think about this too. If Louisville gets an NBA team, you could have games in Lexington, whether it be more exhibition games or even potentially a regular season game or two. That would be up to the ownership group, but that possibility would just be very bountiful for what the level of commitment passing a resolution like this that Lexington could do. The return on the investment would be, you know, tenfold if it happened. But there's no negative side effects to passing a resolution like this.
Right, and that's huge too. Now, that's not traditional for NBA teams to hold home games away from the host city, but I see what you're saying with the exhibition games. Making it to ingrain a new fan base is to move the team around the area. And one thing that I think makes this more real than in the past, at least from a support standpoint, has been all of the turmoil at Louisville. And what I think is so encouraging about that, you know, it comes with, you know, with hardship sometimes comes opportunity. And that is an example of the NBA in Louisville. The basketball team is rebooting. The football team lost its biggest star. And Louisville has a big black eye right now. If there was ever a time, in my opinion, for someone or something like an NBA franchise to come in and say, we are the new Louisville, we are supportive of the community, we're supportive of the people here, we want to prove, like you have been pushing, that Louisville is a major world, you know, American, and then go on into a world city than just being a local city. And that's kind of where you are pushing that. And I think that the door is wide open more now than it's ever been.
Okay, so let me preface this. I am in law school at U of L currently. And, you know, I would never do anything that would, you know, hurt that university. And I think we've gotten to the point with this new administration, you know, Ben DiPudi and Vince Tyree. They are, you know, about building up the university, but also building up the community. And what you have to realize is, that if you get an NBA team to Louisville, not only does it, you know, and I think they might understand this, you know, I obviously I haven't had conversations with them about it, but if you get an NBA team to Louisville, That helps build up the reputation of the city, okay? That brings in more businesses. People, you know, U of L fans have told me that they're concerned about, you know, corporate dollars, you know, reducing. I think, if anything, that would be temporary. And then because you have an NBA team, that brings businesses in.
Exactly.
You know, every city on Amazon 20's final 20 for their second headquarters,
mm-hmm.
with the exception of Austin, who's supposed to get an MLS team from Columbus, had a professional sports franchise. And so, you know, if you want to attract businesses, businesses are starting to realize, well, we need a higher standard of living. We need these quality of life things, and professional sports is one of them. That's why big businesses go to cities with major league professional sports.
And if you're a young person, like myself, like if you're young, and I will, now obviously I've been sports radio, I love sports, but if I was to take a job somewhere, that's one of the things I would look at, is like, what games could I go see? What entertainment value is there? I don't want to go to necessarily a, you know, maybe a Boise, Idaho or something, or or a place like Birmingham, Alabama, that doesn't really have much to do, even if I have a job opportunity. If I had five job opportunities and one of them was a place with an NBA or NFL team, that would actually sway me to want to go there. So when I have my downtime, I get to go enjoy the things that I like and love.
Exactly. And so then those corporations and those businesses are drawn to that. And so when people are scared that, okay, Louisville would, you know, lose corporate dollars, that might be a temporary dip. And you also have to look at the fact that, so they would bring in more corporations and more money that way.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to look at the fact that the NBA draws more regionally. Okay. So let's even take the Mercedes-Benz Arena, which is the football NFL stadium in New Orleans. Okay.
In Atlanta.
Sorry.
They're good.
In Atlanta. Well, where's their hub? In Germany, right? So there's more of a regional pull, more of a national pull if you have major league sports. They're not all necessarily localized companies that do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a greater pull. And when you bring in these more corporations, you bring in bring Kentucky into the modern era with a professional sports franchise, it raises the stature of the city. And so by raising the stature of the city, you raise the stature of the University of Louisville. And so I think the administrators at Louisville would certainly have to consider that, you know, in whether or not they would support it. You know, I'm not going to make any, you know, proclamation on their behalf, but mm-hmm. It would make sense to want the city to do better in order to help the university. Because if there's more job opportunities for their graduates, well, more people are going to want to come to the city.
And I completely agree with you on something, because I want to give an example out there and I want to talk about this a little more with you, is Cincinnati. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati is a place that, growing up, you know, before, you know, learning about population and whatnot, I always thought Cincinnati was, you know, Cleveland and Cincinnati were the biggest cities there. They had all the pro teams. Columbus is the most highly populated in Ohio, and it's not even really close.
Yeah.
And that's what you're talking about, is when you have a pro team, that star on the map does get much bigger, and it goes from, oh yeah, that's a big city in the central, you know, America, essentially. And then it just turns into, oh, this is a big city. This is important. This is a place. Just like pro teams have done with the biggest thing for Cincinnati is there's an NFL team there, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to ask you as a follow-up to this. How, once Lexington, because I think that with enough support, enough ground support, and I'll get into your contact later about how I could help with that, is that will we need Cincinnati too? Do you think Cincinnati is going to be, once Lexington gets in the fold, do you think that is going to be the keystone of support in a regional Louisville franchise tie?
You know, obviously Lexington or Northern Kentucky will be a key component of that. I would love to see Cincinnati support it. I think it would be very difficult to get Cincinnati behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, they're getting an MLS team now, so they're like maxing out the number of pro teams they have.
Mm-hmm.
While I think it would continue to build that bond between Louisville or the state of Kentucky and Cincinnati, I think it would be phenomenal, and I think that would be a total game changer if that happened. I personally think it would be very difficult, but once we get more regional support throughout Kentucky, then that's something we can take the next step to.
Why do you think that's so difficult?
Well, because it would be, you know, the Reds pull sponsors from Louisville, right? So we would be taking corporate dollars from Cincinnati, probably some Cincinnati businesses, to sponsor events in Louisville.
Okay. I see where you're going with that.
Back and forth.
And it's difficult as a fan because we support Cincinnati so well here in Kentucky. Yeah. We support the Bengals and Reds like no other. And for, you know, it's kind of like a give back and a goodwill type of thing. I think it's interesting why Cincinnati, and maybe you know more about it, maybe it's just the population and the draw, but why Cincinnati hasn't gotten an NBA team in a long time since the Royals left. You know, what's up with that?
I don't know why they haven't been considered. But now it's kind of a good thing for us, though, that they've maxed out.
Right.
You know, it's bad for us that both Nashville and Cincinnati got an MLS team, because that's going to really hurt our chances of getting an MLS team. But because it kind of maxes out Cincinnati, I think it helps our ability to it kind of knocks them off the tier of being a competitor, I would think, as far as being an NBA shooter.
Yeah. And my last question before you go, what can Lexington do locally to help this grow, and what can we do to help pass a resolution supporting an NBA franchise in Louisville?
That's a great question. So as soon as this is over, I'm going to put out a tweet. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew J. Klump, K-L-U-M-P, on Twitter. I'm going to put out a tweet that says basically gives the link to find your local legislator, your local counselor in Lexington, okay? And you can email or call them and say, we want you to pass a resolution supporting an NBA franchise coming to Louisville, coming to the state of Kentucky. And if you do that, that's how you get these things done. Like, I can go, you know, as a city councilor, I can go and advocate, but it doesn't mean near as much coming from me as it does from the constituent. So, and let me remind you again, there's no financial commitment to this. This is just a resolution that creates solidarity throughout the state. So if we have all of your listeners go and call their city councilor in Lexington and say, hey, we need a resolution supporting an NBA franchise coming to the state of Kentucky, coming to Louisville, because it would benefit this state as a whole, that will mean a lot. And that's what your listeners and that's what the citizens of Lexington can do to get this done.
Well, I'm very excited about the potential of having an NBA team. You know, we can go up to Cincinnati for Major League Baseball, see any team that comes through there. We can see, you know, not only the team itself, but the teams that come through. And it would be a great opportunity to have an NBA franchise here so, you know, local people can drive to Louisville and see LeBron James or Kevin Durant when they come through. Or if Anthony Davis decided to come and play in the state again in free agency, if they got a team by then, is have Anthony Davis. We could go watch Anthony Davis for 40 games a year, you know, 41 games a year. And that's what's so exciting. And I think economically it would have a real boom for Louisville, and it would bleed into Lexington with that money. But Andrew, thank you so much for coming on with me and Trey and just talking to us about what we can do and the potential of an NBA franchise in Louisville.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yep. Well, that was Andrew Klump of Audubon Park City Council. He has been a real social advocate for this. And like he said, you can talk to your local legislators and try to get this afoot in Lexington, because it would be, I just think it would be fun, and it doesn't really hurt Lexington really at all. Trey, what did you think of that?
I think he's a great salesman, because I'm buying into it. He knows his stuff, and like just hearing all that, it just made me all excited to get an NBA team. I'm totally down for it. I really want this to happen now.
And it would just be awesome for Kentucky to really get its first professional franchise in the state. You know, we have a lot of semi-pros or like, you know, Louisville FC or whatever. But to have an NBA, to say that Kentucky has an NFL, NBA, or even an MLB team, that would just mean a lot for Kentucky's footprint and the respect around, you know, the nation, and then also the money that would come into it.
Hey, don't forget my NHL.
And don't forget about Trey's NHL. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about the Bahamas trip to UK basketball. And don't forget, at 11:30, we're going to have Joe Goodberry of The Athletic come on with us to talk more about Cincinnati Bengals and what to look for in training camp. Give us a call at 381-1313. This is Angelo and Trey on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show will return after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Keith Clark invites you to the all-new Ruddy Duck Grill, formerly Cheapside Bar. Open Tuesday through Saturday night late, all food is prepared in our scratch kitchen. From fried chicken to sautéed frog legs to a fabulous Black Hawk farm burger, the new Ruddy Duck Grill is the hot new spot in downtown Lexington. So come in, grab some food, have a beer. The all-new Ruddy Duck at 131 Cheapside.
This is Glenn Lundy with Dan Cummins Chevrolet and Buick, and every day people ask me how we became the number one volume dealer in the state. And I tell you, it comes down to just a couple simple things. We have a 72-hour exchange policy, a lifetime powertrain guarantee, non-commissioned salespeople, and ultimately, we just make sure the focus is the customer experience. You should come out and see for yourself. DanCummins.com.
Let me tell you one more time exactly how I feel. I'd rather drive to Paris for a Dan Cummins deal.
Ready for a senior living community that feels like home? Welcome to the Lafayette, the finest in independent living accommodations with chef-prepared meals, transportation available 7 days a week, and 24/7 security, serving the community's needs for over 30 years with a dedicated staff of trained professionals. Come and join life at the Lafayette, conveniently located on Mason Headley Road. Contact us to schedule a tour. Visit online at 5starseniorliving.com.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
To me, the most important word in the world is dignity. There are certain God-given rights to be fed, to have shelter, medicine, and clothing. When many of our clients come to us, they face the great risk of losing much of what they have, in some cases, losing everything. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. In one instant, an accident, a natural disaster, or the intentional acts of others can threaten our dignity. Whether it's the loss of a paycheck, paying medical bills, enduring a life of pain and suffering, or a claim with your own insurance company, or a business dispute, and you can't afford to pay a lawyer by the hour, you only pay us if we recover for you. Let my firm fight for you, your family, and your dignity. Call us for a free consultation. Dial pound law on your cell phone. That's pound 529. Morgan & Morgan, forthepeople.com.
Offices, Lexington.
Hi, this is Alan Stein for my friends at Synergy Home again. It's Lexington's leader in air conditioning. They're locally owned and operated with service technicians on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. MySynergyHome.com.
This is the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Welcome back to ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5, the Dan and Mary Jo Show with Angelo and Trey filling in. Thank you to Andrew Klump for coming on with us and talking about a potential NBA move to Louisville. You can follow him at Andrew J. Klump, that's K-L-U-M-P, and he tweeted out the link to find your counselor. It's lexingtonky.gov, and then the rest of the link is on his Twitter, and I also retweeted it from at Angelo Media Lex and at ESPN Radio Lex, where you can contact us. Also, you can give us a call at 381-1313. We're only going to have a couple minutes before we bring Joe Goodberry on, but I was talking to Trey earlier about the UK basketball and what we're most excited to see. And we were kind of talking about, you know, the potential of a dual point guard kind of lineup, much like John Wall and Eric Bledsoe did, because we have Emmanuel Quickley, we have Quade Green, we have Ashton Hagans, we have Tyler Harrow, and Jamal Baker. What do you think about more 2 point guard lineups this year?
I mean, it's very likely. I mean, we did it with John Wall and Eric Bledsoe. I'm pretty sure Brandon Knight's class, we did that as well.
Yeah, Brandon Knight, and the shooting guard during that time, I believe, was Deron Lamb, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. But, you know, there was the Tyler Ulis and Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray is a more of a combo guard than a true, so that was an example of a two-point guard system. So it's not unprecedented that it's happened before.
I mean, John Calipari makes it work. I mean, he's a great coach, and, I mean, he can convert, if he wants quickly, he can convert him into that shooting guard position. Or, I mean, we can – I've been seeing some lineups that have Green running the point and then Hagans running the two. I mean, you can put it any which way you want. I mean, we have that much talent on this team.
I think the most fun about this basketball team, and I love seeing Cole over there just squirm around because he hates Kentucky basketball, but this Big Blue Nation, baby, get used to it, baby. So what I'm most excited about this Kentucky basketball lineup is that there are going to be so many different variations you can throw out there. You can match up with any team. I think what was difficult about the run last year that Kentucky went on when they faced Kansas State is that we didn't have the firepower to throw out different lineups to really counteract the playing style of Kansas State. It was more of that reason why we lost, you know, and then you can say the PJ free throw shooting or whatever, but you got to get over that. You know, Shea didn't have a great game that game either. You know, that's just one where you're just going to have to take an L and we're going to have to move on from that loss. But the thing is this team, you could do anything. You can throw out a five-guard lineup if you ever needed to against a smaller team with whoever you want it at center, or you'd have a big man. You could have a four-guard lineup. You could have a one-guard, four bigs lineup if you wanted to with Travis, Montgomery, Nick, and PJ Washington. You could throw out, an all-athletic lineup of just super athletes like Keldon Johnson quickly and Montgomery playing the five and Washington playing the four, like these super, super athletes. There are so many different variations of this team that we haven't even begun to see what could happen. And I'm just so excited for that.
Oh, it's about to be a fun season this year. I mean, this is the year Kentucky can win a national championship. And our first game of the year of the regular season is against Duke. So, I mean, I'm kind of one of the guys that says, I mean, these early matchups don't really mean much, but I would like to see how we match up with Duke early, and it also gives Coach Calipari a early look into that team to see what works and what doesn't work. But then again, I mean, as we've seen before, players get better and players get worse. So it's the regular season matchups in the early season with these big teams do not make me worry, but once we get into conference play and conference tournament, that's when we'll be seeing the lineup kind of starting to get set in stone. I don't think it's going to get set in stone probably until last couple games of the regular season, maybe not even until the end of the tournament, the SEC tournament.
Yep, and I think it's more or less that I think it's exciting that we have the possibility of so many lineups, that we can match up with so many teams, and that a concrete lineup for 1 year may not be the worst thing not to have, if as long as you've got the guy running the point and the big man that you trust and a scorer like Keldon Johnson. If those three can figure it out, then it's just really exciting. But we're going to talk more Kentucky basketball at the end of the show. But when we come back, we're going to have Joe Goodberry of The Athletic to talk more about Bengals training camp and what to look forward to as we go into the season for Who Dey Nation. This is ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show will return after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
It's summertime in the Bluegrass, and the savings are heating up at Courtesy.
Just $73 down and no payments for 90 days on the biggest selection of pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs.
No credit, bad credit, no problem. At Courtesy, we make car buying fun, relaxed, and hassle-free.
It's the summer savings event where we're selling them
solo.
Visit us on Nicholasville Road next to the Fayette Mall or at courtesyonwheels.com, and that's what we like to call
sweet.
In the Acura MDX, available super handling all-wheel drive responds intuitively to driver inputs, delivering instantaneous power and torque where they're needed most, so you feel greater control behind the wheel. But you don't need to understand the how to feel the why. Test drive the Acura MDX today. Acura, precision crafted performance.
Lease a new 2018 MDX as low as $369 a month at Courtesy Acura.
Jamie Clark of Synergy Home sitting talking today. New ideas, new stuff in heating and air conditioning. Geothermal. What is it? Tell me about it.
Alan, geothermal is not exactly new. It's been around for about 40 years, but it is definitely more popular.
Well, it's
today.
New to me.
It's more popular today than it's ever been. And right now, there's a 30% federal tax credit. So when you purchase a geothermal system from Synergy Home, the government's going to rebate you 30% of your investment back. Geothermal is 5 times as efficient as an average heating and cooling system, and right now, geothermal is 3 times as efficient as geothermals were just 10 years ago. So existing geothermal customers really should take advantage of that 30% tax credit.
They should. Is it any more difficult to have it installed in your home?
It is more complicated. That's why you want to work with a professional. Synergy is the number one geothermal company in the state of Kentucky, and we do it right every time.
So how do we get a hold of you, Jimmy?
Go to my website at mysynergyhome.com or give us a call at 687-0553.
Great idea.
Have you ever experienced a wish come true? For a child battling a critical illness, a wish come true can be a turning point. One song, one dance, one game, one adventure, one moment changes everything. Make-A-Wish needs your support to grant the wish of every eligible child. Visit wish.org now to help grant more life-changing wishes. Together, we can transform lives, one wish at a time.
This is the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Dirty South. Can y'all really feel me? Fellas. East Coast, fellas. West Coast.
Welcome back into the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5. Angelo and Trey filling in for Dan and Mary Jo today. And we were talking about training camp earlier because I've been going the last 2 days, the first 2 days of camp. I've been there to check out all the action, and right now we got a guy that is one of the best, I mean, literally one of the best Bengal follows there are out there. He works for The Athletic following the Bengals and the NFL draft, which we are going to get to into some of that too. It's Joe Goodberry. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on, and Joe, I know you've been keeping up with everything as we've gone along. I know you haven't been to camp yet, but what are some of the things you're hearing out of camp that have really been kind of a surprise or just something encouraging to you so far?
Yeah, start with defense. I think William Jackson, the way he played last year, and he played tremendously, and he didn't start the whole year, only credited with 5 starts, but when he was on the field, it really changed the defense. When you have a lockdown corner, you kind of came into this offseason like, okay, is that who he was? Our offense is going to figure out his weaknesses. How is he going to keep that level of play going forward? Is he an elite player? And so far in camp, it sounds like he is. And he's even following A.J. Green, which the Bengals don't normally do with their number one corner. If that's the case, that could be huge for this defense. I mean, if you have a Darrell Revis or a Richard Sherman, and then we may be jumping the gun saying he's that, but it feels that way so far. And if that's the case, it changes your defense. And then on the offensive side, I think the surprise for me is the reports that Tyler Boyd is the number two receiver and looks like the number two receiver. It's not that just that they're giving him those snaps. It's that he has been dominant, as some have called the practices. And if that's the case, I wonder where that puts Brandon LaFell, the guy they've leaned on as the number two. And we've seen the splash plays and the highlights and people posting clips online of John Ross getting deep and burning Drake Kirkpatrick. If those are your three guys, meaning A.J. Green, John Ross on the outside, Tyler Boyd in the slot, that if those guys are what you think they are, that offense could be next level. It could be exactly what they've been missing the last couple of years. And I know they've struggled on the offensive line, and we really won't get a good look until they put on the pads, which is today, and going into preseason for the offensive line. But for the weapons, if they're there and if they're playing the way we expect them and think they could, it's going to be a huge impact on this team.
Yeah, and pretty much everything that you just said goes in line with what I've seen. William Jackson, the way you kind of see players and how the team values them is where they kind of put them in drills, because A.J. always starts off the wide receivers. Andy Dalton always starts off the quarterback drills. William Jackson, in the one-on-ones when they break away from individuals, was the first one to cover A.J. Green. They obviously think he's primed for a huge season, and it seemed like A.J. Green now, you can count on one hand and not even that many how many receivers in this league are better than A.J. Green. But you could kind of tell he was trying a little bit harder against William Jackson, and he got him a couple times. But against everybody else, William Jackson just looks like I don't know that by the end of this season that he's not in the top 5 cornerback conversations with guys like Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bowie and those guys.
Yeah, and if that, like I said, if that's the case, because I think their pass rush unit is really good and at least ready to really emerge and break out as a top 5 unit also, that combination could be really what sets the tone for this defense. I think for me what the concern is, and as I'm going through for The Athletic right now, I've graded all the players and I'm ranking them. where I put Drake Kirkpatrick in the ranking of their three top corners, meaning I think William Jackson is a top guy on their team, right? Right. Darqueze Dennard has the slot, and I think he's really good inside. Drake Kirkpatrick, and as teams figured it out last year, as you saw towards the end of the year, they just targeted him and targeted him consistently. And I don't think Kirkpatrick's bad. I just think when you can throw the deep ball on him, his lack of deep speed, his lack of ball skills, he panics, he reaches and grabs, he pulls and tugs, gets called for penalties, he misses plays that maybe he should break up. And I think if offenses start targeting the Bengals' defense that way, it could really look like a weak link for them.
And I think I would have to say that when it comes to Dre, I have a little more faith that this might be a bounce-back year. I think there was a lot of pressure on him specifically last year and with the way the team went. I like to see him maybe, you know, he kind of plays the left corner, at least in the 11-on-11s. He kind of stayed at left corner and covered that. If he can be the guy that can cover your DeAndre Hopkinses or someone that can match up against the bigger possession receivers and then have William Jackson maybe roam or have him cover the number ones and then Dre just go on the big guys. And then, like you said, Dennard is one of the better, I think, slot corners in the NFL. I've never, you know, they invested all those first-round picks in cornerbacks just because I feel like the Bengals were kind of on the forefront of the league and knowing that high-end cornerback talent was going to become more and more of a premium position as we go along. And I think that they did a good job of nabbing Jackson, and I would expect Dre to kind of bounce back more this year. One thing that you mentioned was the pass rush. I am interested to see because Carl Lawson, how a former five-star, top five high school recruit that went to Auburn fell to the fourth round is beyond me because we both know how amazing he is. He just looks like he picked up right where he left off last year. I'm interested to see who can emerge as the second pass rusher. Is there anybody, maybe a Jordan Willis or someone that's kind of on your mind of who can emerge as the second real outside rusher?
Well, I still think Carlos Dunlap is the man on the left side, and he's in a contract year, and I wonder if they start limiting his snaps at some point, whether he signed or not, but because they've drafted Sam Hubbard and Jordan Willis, and you have to wonder at what point do you start to lay off on his snaps, give him a little bit more rest, because the depth is actually good again. Mm-hmm. And remember when it was like 09, 10, 11, when the Bengals really had a good defense, they rotated that defensive line. So, you know, they were eight deep on that line, and they could do it, and it made them better for it. There was a few years now, the last couple of years, where they really didn't have that depth, and they couldn't rotate those guys. I think the interesting part is, under Paul Gunther and Mike Zimmer, they usually played with three defensive ends and one defensive tackle in their nickel package, which is on the field for most of the game.
I think Will Clark did a lot of that last year.
Exactly, and then it was Chris Smith and Michael Johnson last year also, mm-hmm. and then they lose Chris Smith to the Browns. And I wonder if Michael Johnson has that role, and that's really going to be his role this year. Because before Michael Johnson was the base right end, I think now Jordan Willis is probably the base right end, and Carl Lawson is your pass rushing right end. And so now I look at the left side and say it's probably a combination of Dunlap and Sam Hubbard, with Michael Johnson inside. I just wonder who that other guy is that's going to be able to kick inside. I think Jordan Willis can do it. I think Sam Hubbard can do it. They just didn't give him a lot of opportunities. I'm speaking of Willis last year to do it. And Hubbard being a rookie, normally those guys don't have huge impacts. You're not expecting a Carl Lawson type impact from defensive linemen in a rookie year. So it'll be interesting to see who gets that spot behind Michael Johnson or rotates with Michael Johnson. I think it's probably their one weak link as that third defensive end. That kicks inside, I'm talking, and plays that defensive tackle on this defense.
So the big question that I've been seeing, kind of looking at the Bengals training camp, is their quarterback backup position. Because we all know Andy Dalton's got the first string. But, I mean, as a lot of people know, I mean, Logan Woodside, Kentucky native, where's he going to stack up there? Because I saw he didn't take any snaps day one. And does he make the cut, or are they looking somewhere else for that number two?
He's definitely probably the fourth quarterback off the bench right now, considering that, you know, Jeff Driscoll's been with the team for a couple of years now as the third guy. Matt Barkley is the number two. This is the weakest depth behind Andy Dalton since 2011 when he got there, and even probably before that. Under Marvin Lewis, maybe it might be the weakest depth, because they've always had a guy like John Kitna or a Ryan Fitzpatrick or an A.J. McCarron to back up their starter. Right now, Matt Barkley, and it doesn't sound like he's having good practices, but he has never really been a reliable player in the NFL. He's had some success, but never really. I mean, he gets cut in the preseason. He did last year, finds another team. if he gets in the game, you're probably in trouble, and they're going to have to lean on Joe Mixon and the weapons to get them through the game. But speaking of Woodside, I think he's behind the eight ball here. He's going to have to be looking at, like, the practice squad. Maybe he gets a little bit of time. Think of Jeff Driscoll a couple years ago in preseason when he was a rookie, and he was getting in barely in the fourth quarter, the last couple drives, and trying to show that, you know, he can make the team as a practice squad player, and he did. And I think that's what Woodside's aiming for and looking for, and I think that's fine for him being a late-round pick. You don't expect to win that job as a rookie as the backup. If the Bengals keep three guys, then it gets interesting because can he beat out Jeff Driscoll? He might be able to if he gets the opportunities to show it.
And I completely agree with everything that you said, because when it comes to Woodside, I think the Cincinnati typically likes to keep a quarterback on the practice squad and carry two. And I think that with Jeff Driscoll out of years of service number, I think to be on the practice squad, bringing in Matt Barkley was a definite sign that Jeff Driscoll absolutely has to beat out Matt Barkley if he's going to win the number two job. And I agree with you. The number two job essentially is going to be won by Barkley by default, because he does not look great, but Driscoll doesn't either. And I really thought Driscoll might step up and have a big camp to kind of cement himself, because there were times where I thought he looked better than A.J. McCarron last year in camp.
There were times. Yep.
But not this year. It doesn't seem like it's going that way, but it's still very early. One of the things I wanted to go back and talk to you about was, and I wanted to correct myself, Will Clark was there early on. I think he ended up in Tampa, and that's when, you know, like you said, Smith and Johnson were really taking over that role with Geno as the other DT.
Right.
But I think you're hitting on something that the Bengals have done very well. If you look at the history of Bengals draft guys at least the last 2 years, a lot of them are former five-star guys on that defensive front. Andrew Brown from Virginia, they got in the fourth round, was a top 10 recruit that went to Virginia. I think he was from the state of Virginia. You had Malik Jefferson, a third round pick, former the number one linebacker recruit in the country that went to play under Charlie Strong. You got a guy like Sam Hubbard, who was, I mean, you go to Ohio State and star the way he did. I thought he was one of the better pass rushers and could have been, in my opinion, possibly a late first round pick. And I don't think anyone would have gotten up in arms about it. What you hit on perfectly was that the depth on this front seven, and especially on the defensive line, is as talented, at least, as I've seen it in a very long time. I just think that the way they've drafted recently, what did you think about the draft and how they did reload that front?
I think for 2 years in a row now, they've had good drafts, and they've let the draft fall to them. They've had specific needs. When the Bengals really drafted poorly, which was like 2013, 14, 15, they targeted players, and they had specific needs. They didn't go out in free agency and fill those needs. So they said, we need a big back. Let's take Jeremy Hill. We need a defensive end. We're taking Will Clark. We need a starting center. Let's take Russell Bodine. And it hurt them because you were passing up better players on the board. I'm assuming, you know, we don't get a look at their board, but right. I make a board. A lot of people do. And, you know, I thought there were better players on the board each time they made a pick, but they had to fill specific needs, and it hurt them. And that's the biggest reason why they had poor seasons 2 years in a row the last 2 years. I think they corrected it and went back to, okay, yes, we have needs. We have to let it fall to us. We can target a few guys. Yes, we need a starting center. We're going to take Billy Price, but he's close to near the top of the board there at 21. That makes sense. I think when you sit there and you say, we need a defensive end, but we're not going to force it in the first round. We're not going to force it in the second round. You get Jordan Willis in the third. Come back in the fourth. Man, Carl Lawson's still there. Guess what? We'll take him because he's the best player on the board. I think when you draft that way, you end up with a better collection of talent, and they've done that. And now I look at it, and just in 2 years, I think they may have nailed both these draft classes. And if they did, it's going to set them up for a run again under Marvin Lewis, and it may extend him for a couple more years, because now you have depth and talent at premium positions, which I think for them are receiver and defensive line. I even think linebacker, they've done a good job. But last year with Jordan Evans, I think he can eventually be a starting player. I think Malik Jefferson could be a starting player. I still like Nick Vigil, and going into year three, I think he can play much better than he did down the stretch last year before he got hurt. And then at corner, as we talked about the depth with three first-round picks at corner, but I also like what they've done with in the depth position for them, even though they've lost guys and they don't have the pedigree back there. I like both picks of Devontae Harris and Darius Phillips, and I think both those guys could contribute, if not on special teams right away. I think one of them could be your primary backup, and that's probably one of the concerns on the team too, is that you have unproven backup for the first time at corner, I think, in a long time. I remember when Trey Kirkpatrick was drafted, they had six first-round corners on their roster at that time. He made them number six. Yep. And now they don't have that. But I still feel good about the guys they drafted.
Yeah, and I think I remember that back when they had like Jones and Terrence Newman and all those guys. You know, you were littered with first round picks. I would say pretty much a point to everything you were talking about. You look back at 2015 and they said, we don't need Andrew Whitworth long term, so we can turn Cedric Bowie into an all pro left tackle. We'll take Jake Fisher, and now we have our bookends for the rest of time. We won't have to worry about it. I think they got a little overconfident in how good they were drafting, and like you said, they were going back to the basics. I did think Billy Price was a little bit of a reach, but it was also a huge need, and like you said, on your board, you had Billy Price a little higher. And the last question I'll leave you on is because there's a guy, and since we're both draft guys, there was one I didn't actually watch too much of, and I wanted your opinion. Jesse Bates going off in the second round to me was a little bit of a surprise, and I've watched him for the last 2 days, and he seems to be covering pretty well, and that's kind of his job, and what I've heard about him is he's a coverage safety. What did you see from Jesse Bates, and do you think that he could beat out a guy like Sean Williams or Clayton Fedulum for that free safety spot and be a ball hawker this year?
You know, I knew they were looking at a safety on day two, and I thought at the time when the picks rolled around and they traded back, because Justin Reed from Stanford was still available, Ronnie Harris from Alabama was still available, I thought those guys were probably higher on their board. And then they traded back, and I thought there must be another guy that they liked. And I heard they liked Jesse Bates, but I was thinking third round maybe. Mm-hmm. So the pick didn't surprise me. I think after trading back, it made sense. They felt they got value plus getting the player they wanted. Bates, to me, when I watch him, he is a free safety. And it's kind of different. The league is changing, and football is changing. It's less free and strong. It's more interchangeable. It's more like boundary safety and field safety. And you want your strong safety now not to just be like a box run defender, but he also is going to cover tight ends. He also could cover the slot receiver. He's going to cover flex running backs that split out, which happens all the time now. And so you need that guy to be a little bit more athletic. And Bates did a lot of that as a strong safety, and even though he doesn't have the body that you normally think of for that position, he has the coverage ability and the man-to-man ability. So he could do that too. And when I watch him, he's athletic. He has good ball skills. He has good range. I think he is potentially a true free safety, which the team really doesn't have. They've been playing George Iloka there. Mm-hmm. And I like Iloka. He kind of plateaued in his development the last 2 years. And I think they're maybe looking for a little bit more. The things they like out of Iloka and Sean Williams are fine, but what they didn't have is somebody with the ball skills and the athleticism and range. So it made sense that they went and targeted a guy like Jesse Bates to bring him on and really fill out the safety depth. Because I think that their safety depth is one of the strongest on the team. Without having a star, I think you have solid starters in Iloka and Sean Williams. I think you have a good special teams ace and a guy that surprisingly played well on defense last year in Clayton Fedulum. And then Josh Shaw is kind of a safety corner, but he can help as needed. I think Bates jumps him instantly, jumps Shaw as the fourth guy. I think battling Fedulum will probably depend solely on how mentally ready he is to take those reps, or if they carve out a little niche role for Bates. I think with issues they've had at linebacker, and you see a lot of teams do this, the two teams in the Super Bowl, the Eagles and the Patriots, played with three safeties on the field 80% of the time in the Super Bowl. They took a linebacker off and they put a safety in there because that's where their depth was, because they had injuries at linebacker, because it made them a better coverage team. And I think the Bengals could do that. They've had issues at cover linebacker. If you want to say, okay, Sean Williams, come down. You're one of our cover linebackers, George Iloka. We're going to insert Jesse Bates, increase our athleticism, our speed and ball skills, and take a linebacker off the field. I think that makes sense. It's not typical for what they've done under Marvin Lewis, but they did it before with Chinnington and Duke way back, at least 10 years ago now, where they played a linebacker there. And they did it with Chris Crocker a little bit. So it'll be interesting if they carve it out that way and carve out a little role for him early on. But I think otherwise we may not see him out of the top four or five picks. We may see Jesse Bates the least.
Yeah, and I was just going to say that I also liked Iloka a lot more as a box safety in a Keanu, you know, Cam Chancellor role. From what I've seen of Jesse Bates, he just looks like he is going to be a good player. I didn't have high expectations for him, but from what I've seen so far, and we'll see more in camp, is that I think he's definitely the type of player you described, and that he could be. One name I'll give you, but before I let you go, one name I'll give you is that it's impressed me, because you were talking about the depth at corner isn't very good. It seems like they do a good job of bringing corners off the heap that are actually really talented. And Soldier and Shelton of Wisconsin has looked really good in the last couple of days.
Super athletic, right?
Yeah, I mean, he made this diving interception on a guy. They both dove for the ball, and he was able to keep both feet dragged on the opposite side of the field. And I mean, he just looks like he is meant to play the cornerback position. So if there's a guy that you kind of want to eye, he's a guy that I would suggest. Joe, thank you.
I'll be sure to check him out next week.
Do it. And I hope to see you up in Cincinnati next week. We'll get together and talk about the Bengals. But thank you so much for coming on the show, man. You were great.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep. So we will come back. And that was Joe Goodberry of The Athletic. You can go follow him at Joe Goodberry on Twitter and definitely check out his material. If you're a Bengals fan or an NFL draft fan, he is a guy definitely to target on your Twitter follow. But when we come back, we're going to wrap up the Dan and Mary Joe show with here with Trey Carney, and we're going to talk about just a last thing about the Bahamas before they leave before the UK basketball team leaves for the Bahamas. This is the Dan and Mary Joe show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM.
Play this record as frequently as possible. Then, as it becomes easier for you...
The Dan and Mary Joe show will return after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Revamp your exterior today with the locally manufactured, nationally recognized stone veneer from Glengarry that installs like siding. Glengarry's stone fit wall system with dry fit technology uses patented interlocking stone panels with attachment brackets that mount directly to plywood, regardless of stud location. The mortarless panels allow for a clean and easy installation 365 days a year. Buy direct from the Cynthiana plant today and save 10% on stone fit this month only. Visit our showroom at 267 Safety Way Road in Cynthiana to select and purchase your product today. GlenGarry.com.
It was a goal that I wanted to achieve from the very beginning.
I'm a 40-year-old man that walked in there to get his high school diploma. I wasn't sure if I could do it. It was very hard for me, but the teachers, the counselors, they help you.
One of the teachers was Miss Araceli. Miss Araceli, she gave me direction. Every single time I had a question, she'll put down whatever she's doing and she'll come over and she'll sit there with you until you get it.
At age 47, with the help of his teacher, Marco finished his high school diploma.
50% of getting your high school diploma is walking through those doors. The other 50% is doing the work. Getting your high school diploma, it is a life-changing experience. It really is. It catapults you to where you want to go.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Just about every morning in Central Kentucky, we head to work early and get home late. We're a local business here in the Bluegrass. We're focused on Lexington, not Wall Street. We work in showrooms and warehouses, not glass buildings or ivory towers. And our customers are our neighbors, not just numbers. We're P-Rats. There was a time not long ago where the consultants had written local businesses off. Surely the corporate giants would snuff out the P-Rats' flame. But those guys don't make the rules. You do. And P-Rats' customers have continued to demand great prices, service, and answers, and quality they can trust. Like the tradition of Maytag laundry with Maytag dependability. So think outside the big box. Think P-Rats and save. Locally owned since 1946. Nobody beats P-Rats.
This is the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Welcome back to the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Angelo here with Trey Carney, and it's been a good show so far. We talked to Andrew Klump, who is an Audubon Park City Councilor in the Louisville metro area. We talked about moving the NBA, an NBA franchise to Louisville, and how it can positively affect the Lexington area and what needs to be done from Lexington to help support that. We also at 11:30 talked to Joe Goodberry of The Athletic, who is a Cincinnati Bengals and NFL draft guy, and we talked about a lot about training camp and what to expect from the Bengals going into the preseason. And I have been out to Bengals camp on Thursday and Friday. Like Joe mentioned, today's the first day of pads, and I will be up there in Cincinnati today. So, you know, I need to start a GoFundMe for gas money, but you know, it's been a lot of fun. Trey, is there anything that you kind of want to end on, or anything that you've seen, anything like maybe UK basketball or something that, you know, you really want to talk about?
Well, one thing is, when I was doing my Steelers report, I totally forgot to mention that Big Ben's lost about 20 pounds. So we're going to have to not call him Big Ben anymore, even though he's still a big guy. But, I mean, he's losing that weight. He's getting rid of the dad bod.
I know there are some Steeler fans here, but most people hate everything that you're talking about right now. The Steelers are due for a down season, and they'll probably submerge right off into the playoffs as the Bengals ascend to take their spot. Right. But what everybody in town can't agree with is that UK basketball, it's the summertime and it is heating up, and it's going to even get hotter for the Cats as they travel to the Bahamas for a five-game slate and really get to the team together to practice and everything. And we've talked about guys we're excited to see and what kind of lineups we're excited to see. I want to know, what are your expectations for the season, even early on, like against Duke? And then what do you expect the team to kind of finish like if everything goes according to plan?
Well, first, that was a great segue. And number two, honestly, I don't go into like giving the team high expectations anymore, because we've talked about this before. I mean, that 38-0 team, I mean, we had big expectations. We expect that national championship, and
still arguably one of the greatest basketball teams of all time. Oh, college basketball teams. Absolutely. Definitely.
So I kind of go in, I know the team's good. I know they're going to make a good push. That's all I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to see how they develop, because you can't really expect these guys who are 18 and 19-year-olds. But this year, something we haven't seen in a while is we have some guys that are sophomores and a senior that are going to put in some big minutes and be great leaders on the court. So I'm excited for that, and I think it's going to be a great season. Duke, honestly, a lot of people are going to hate me for saying this. I honestly don't care if we win or lose that game, because in the grand scheme of things, I'd rather beat them in March than first game of the season.
And I think when it comes down to it, the expectation to have for this Kentucky team, and everybody I think agrees, even Cal said he's not going on vacation this year, which, I mean, the Bahamas trip, you know, he's still going, but he's going with the team, and that this team has a chance to be super special. And I think after this Bahamas trip, we're going to be talking about a national championship. And like they say for Christmas, like sugar plums and gumdrops dancing your head around Christmas. Well, we're going to have dreams of strive for nine once we're done with these practices. But Trey, thank you so much for coming on with me.
Thanks for having me.
I think it's the last one of the summer for me, and I'm glad that I could have done it with you. Got to know you over the last couple months, and you're a pretty swell dude. So I wish you the best of luck in your next lacrosse season as a collegiate lacrosse player at Tusculum. So good luck with that.
Appreciate it.
And you've been listening to the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 and 92.5.
And the deals are sizzling. Scorching discounts on over 300 new Rams and Jeeps, like a Jeep Compass Sport starting at $18.99. 0% is available on Cherokees. Lease prices are smoking. It's a hot fun in the summer clearance event at all three Mann Chrysler stores. How hot is this sale? Yow, it's sizzling.
You're gonna drive away saying, man, what a deal.
Mann Chrysler in Maysville, Mount Sterling, Richmond, and at mannchrysler.com.
Have you ever experienced a wish come true? For a child battling a critical illness, a wish come true can be a turning point. One song, one dance, one game, one adventure, one moment changes everything. Make-A-Wish needs your support to grant the wish of every